Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
After 11 months of cocooning, Dominic Rowley contracted COVID-19 6 weeks ago, and although now out of hospital, is still feeling serious effects of the virus. And as a medical professional, he now wants to tell people just how serious this illness can be. And he joins me on the line. Good morning to you.
Morning, Claire. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. You're more than welcome. You're a consultant in sexual health and HIV medicine at the Midlands Regional Hospital and also medical director of Let's Get Checked. So there was no risk of you underestimating this virus, and you were being so careful for 11 months before you got it. But you noticed symptoms about 6 weeks ago, was it?
Yeah, I'm lucky to get to 11 months after isolation. But it came on, like, I think, pretty much the same as everybody else, like kind of like a sledgehammer. And mine weren't respiratory. I was only coughing very mildly. And that's the kind of the danger. That's what, you know, originally in Italy, they said it was the danger zone. People not recognizing that their respiratory disease is so bad. I had more neurological effects, actually, funny enough, falling over, fainting, hallucinating, that kind of thing, refusing ambulances to go to hospital.
Right, because we haven't heard much about that, about the neurological symptoms.
Yeah, no, exactly, no. And I thought I was going mad because you're delirious as well with the high fever, you know. And I look back on the first ambulance that came, and I had to sign a disclaimer saying, "Listen, lads, no, I'm fine, I'm perfectly fine." And they were like, "No, you're very ill." Second day, the ambulance called, and I did take it.
You were saying you were fainting and you were delirious. Can you explain to us what you remember?
My hallucination, it kind of went on for about from Wednesday to Saturday until I got admitted. Hallucinations were the main problem. I had to keep all the lights on. The house was very bright because the dark was making the hallucinations worse. I had an innocent Chinese woman beside me for the whole 3 days of hallucinating. Fell over everything, really, that she could fall over, bins, chairs, everything.
It's been quite scary, was it?
Yeah, it was quite scary, but I suppose the only saving grace was the lack of awareness, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you, Dominic, you have something called common variable immune deficiency.
Yeah, it's the most common immune deficiency in adults. And ironically, the whole world knows about antibodies now, but we don't produce antibodies, well, enough antibodies. That's the kind of the double irony. So that's the reason I had to cocoon, first of all. And the cocooning happened overnight, literally an email from my consultant saying, now you stop all face-to-face work, close your practice, no public transport, no shops, literally overnight. And that was about a week before Leo's speech. So, you know, it was really, really profoundly shocking. But that is the underlying reason why I got so sick and was hospitalized.
Right, because for you it's particularly dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the gov.ie, you know, labeled us as extremely medically vulnerable. Now, they've just changed the label because it wasn't a very nice label. But, extremely medically vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. So what happened then when you went to hospital, Dominic?
Well, when I went to hospital, as I said, I didn't think I had respiratory, the classic thing. So obviously when I got to hospital, it's a bit of a blur. I mean, I was obviously confused and delirious and muddled. But I do remember the docs in James's, in the isolation, COVID isolation ward, discussing, you know, will we bring him to HDU, will we bring him to ICU? And I had the medical hat on me enough to know how scary that was. So they put me in the prone position, and all the drips in, obviously, and on high dose oxygen. And the prone position, well, I mean, I have such admiration for people who did prone position for days and weeks. I mean, I could only last 6 hours in the prone position. It's quite traumatic, you know.
Because you're face down, right?
You're face down, but it's not like a massage table where, you know, you're hanging over the edge of the table, and then of the bed, and then nurses are on their knees injecting you upside down and asking you if you're okay. And it's one of the reasons why there's going to be a mental health tsunami coming down the road for patients, healthcare staff, everybody. And then I just said to the doctors, I said, look, guys, I can't do this. I'd rather go to ICU and be sedated. I can't do this.
Is it because it was uncomfortable or was it painful?
I have such a long medical history. It wasn't painful. It was just, it was so unbelievably frightening and isolating to be looking down and have a nurse on her knees looking up at you, the whole situation is it's different to any disease. No other disease, you have to do that.
Because it's interesting, because you said earlier that you only had a mild cough and yet you were put in the prone position to relieve pressure on your lungs. So you must have been, you must have had quite an impact on your respiratory system at that stage.
Yeah, no, I went straight for a CT scan, which, you know, I kind of wasn't semi-aware of. And unbelievably, both lungs from top to bottom were white out, complete pneumonia in both lungs from top to bottom. And so I was kind of that classic case of people falling off the cliff with COVID and just not realizing how ill they are and then unfortunately passing away.
So you went from zero to seriously ill pretty quickly, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So you were in the COVID ward in St. James's. Can you remember the other people who were there with you? Did you, I mean, were you aware of the other people there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was really fortunate that I responded to the steroids and the remdesivir, the antiviral drug. I was on a huge amount of oxygen, but we were in a four-bed ward and the other men were older than me. But, you know, you become pals and, you know, you're helping people answer mobiles and getting to the toilet. But over the course of the 15, 16 days, we were locked in the ward. So you couldn't even go down the corridor. So that alone was surreal. But then nearly every night, there'd be a crash call and one of my friends or, you know, bedfellows would drop their oxygen levels and be rushed to ICU. And then the next morning, I would ask the nurses, you know, how did Paddy get on? And Paddy had died. So five of my friends / bedfellows passed away when I was in there for 3 weeks.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah, it is extraordinarily awful.
Really upsetting, I'm sure, for you. So you said you were in there for how long?
About 16 days in the locked ward. And then I got out to a ward that I could walk around in.
And how have you been then since you left hospital?
Well, I mean, I like you can imagine, I was singing and dancing leaving hospital, you know, just ecstatic. And this is the thing that I suppose is so important for your listeners to hear this. I mean, I pretty much have got worse every day since I left, which, you know, given my medical history, that wouldn't be typical. You know, normally you know yourself, if you have an operation or anything, you have a bad day, then a good day, and you get eventually stronger. But I'm increasingly breathless, and then the memory and the COVID fog is hard to that's a hard one. That's a hard one to get your head around.
And you've been back to hospital a couple of times since you were discharged.
Yeah, a few times the oxygen levels dropping. I think the cognitive thing is very difficult to kind of, I suppose, cope with or to get your head around.
So that's I mean, you would characterise that, would you, as brain fog, what you're experiencing at the moment?
I'm hoping it's brain fog. People keep on asking me about long COVID, and I don't think it's very helpful because nobody knows when, what date or time long COVID kicks in. And I'm going to the COVID clinic in James's next Friday, and I'm assuming this is early stages side effects of COVID, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you're concerned then about long COVID, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I wouldn't be a big Googler of my medical conditions, but I have very bold this week and Googling away. But long COVID really just is an extension of these current feelings, you know, extreme fatigue, not being able to walk, not being able to breathe, and fog.
Mm-hmm. But it's not long. I mean, you were very seriously ill not that long ago.
True. In terms of...
It just may take time.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. I suppose, you know, we're all the same. There's frustration. I mean, there's a frustration about all of our situation. You know, we're all fatigued by life. And I suppose it is hard to keep the mental health up.
Mm, but given what you've been through, Dominic, your message today is to remind people what this can do to somebody like you, otherwise healthy. I know you had your underlying condition to deal with, but living a very healthy life, and this has left you in a really difficult place.
Yeah, and I'm not that young anymore, but I'm a youngish man, and it really, know April the 5th and we're all dreading what's going to happen. But it really is the most vicious virus. And like, please keep going. And please just avoid each other, because it really isn't worth it.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, there'll be people listening to this and they'll think, well, I don't have the underlying condition that Dominic has. But if you behave as though there isn't a virus here and we're not in the middle of a pandemic, we're putting people like you at risk.
Yeah, I mean, there were times with the student parties and house parties when I was getting, you know, really frustrated and thinking, but I understand now, you know, I understand that it's human nature, but I think that there's a lack of understanding that if we don't have a summer and you're putting people like me at risk, it's just really horribly irresponsible.
And are you staying optimistic in the face of all of this? I mean, obviously you're still going through your own recovery, but hopefully once you're out of this, you'll be next in line. You're in group 4, aren't you, for vaccination?
Yeah, I'm in group 4. We got moved up from group 7. I don't know why we were in group 7, but we got moved to group 4. But you can't get your vaccine until about 8 weeks after acute COVID. So I'll be a little bit later than the rest of group 4.
But it's coming.
But it's coming, Claire. It's coming.
Look, we wish you well with your continuing recovery, and thank you for talking to us today. That's Dominic Rowley.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.